If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
Self-employed people and entrepreneurs don't think about putting money in a retirement vehicle. They completely just don't even realize that there's some options out there for them.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Brian Martinez is a senior business development representative with New View Trust, helping others build their wealth using self-directed IRAs to purchase real estate since 2018. Brian has a passion to provide education for others who are like-minded investors. Brian's focus is on building relationships with local REAs and at real estate conferences across the U.S. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sam.
Man, this is awesome. I'm excited to have you on today and really just learn about what you at New View Trust do, how you plug in with investors. I mean, kind of give us the story if you can, you know, of how maybe how you got involved with self-directed IRAs. And then just kind of give us the lay of the land. Like, what does this look like? What do you see people doing? What are they investing in with their IRAs? I mean, just give us all the details you can.
Okay. My story is kind of unique, actually. I was working in the fitness industry for a long time. And one of my clients, she worked for New View. We built some really great rapport. And I've always worked in business development and management. And she's like, hey, we have some opportunities. You know, she started telling me about self-directed IRAs. And I was like, I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that. Is that even a thing? Is that legal? I did so much research. She's like, look, we have classes. There's a classroom here at New View. Come on in, take a class. You can learn all about it. So I came in and I sat in, and the vice president, Jason, was teaching a class and teaching about all these different types of investments that you can do outside of the stock market. And this was shocking to me because I never knew any of this existed. I didn't even know it was possible. And then as I kept doing research, I was intrigued. I was like, hey, I have an old 401k from my previous employer, and I wouldn't mind dabbling in a few of these things because, you know, the stock market's up and down. So that's how I ended up at New View. I put my application in, and within, I'd say, about 3 months, there was a perfect opening for me in the business development side of New View. And now I'm a senior business development rep for the company. 3 years.
Gotcha. Oh, that's awesome. So let's find out, I guess, in your own personal story, before we go into kind of the broader self-directed landscape, like obviously you do self-direct your own IRA. What did you invest in first?
So myself, I like passive investments. I don't want to be actively having to be a landlord or anything like that. And I'm still building my IRA, of course. So I start off with some small note funds that I can just put my money in and let them work for me. And, you know, the returns are pretty decent and it's consistently performing and they're short-term funds. So, you know, every 12 months I can decide if I want to keep it in there or I want to move it out.
I gotcha. That's interesting. Talk to us I'm assuming most of our listeners already understand how a self-directed IRA works, but if you can, you know, maybe just run through that real quickly. What is a self-directed IRA? How do we open one? You know, give us the kind of details on that.
So typically anyone that has like an old 401k, like myself in my story, anybody that already has an existing IRA or anyone that's self-employed, those are ideal candidates to open a self-directed IRA. The reason why is because a lot of the investments that you can make, you want to have some good amount of money to be able to make these alternative investments. Opening an account is the easy part. You fill out an application, you move the funds over from your current existing or previous employer plan into your New View IRA. Now you have some funds that you can play with. That's how I like to tell my clients. You start going out there looking for those investment opportunities, something that is with, you know, it's more tangible, whether it's real estate, something you have more control over, like, you know, mortgage notes that are secured typically. Those are probably the most common types of assets we'll see. And then there's just so much variety out there in real estate, whether it's commercial property or, you know, you want to have a fix and flip or a buy and hold property. I like the real estate area of things, and we do concentrate a lot in real estate, but the process is very simple to open a self-directed IRA. Best way to do it, reach myself or anyone on my team, and, you know, we'll talk and we'll figure out, you know, what type of money you're looking at, what type of investments you're interested in. We are non-fiduciary, so it's completely the client's decision where they want to put their money.
Right. And I got a million questions for you. Let's see if I can, you know, narrow this down to one of them. you guys do more. Let's start with this. You guys do more than just self-directed IRAs. You guys do solo 401ks and things like that as well, right?
Correct. We do a solo 401k, which is one of my favorite plans for any entrepreneurs out there or self-employed individuals. The reason that I really like the solo 401k, number one, especially people investing in things like multifamily syndications, there's usually some leverage involved in that. And if you're using a self-directed IRA, there might be a taxation called UBIT or UVFI. But in a solo 401k, because it's a real estate investment, it's actually exempt many times. And it always depends on how the deal is structured, but it could definitely save you, you know, a nice chunk of money on those capital gains.
Right. And so no, we're going to, you know, narrow in on the nitty gritty here, but you touched on something I'm curious about. You said that, you know, if the syndication is using leverage, then your formerly tax exempt IRA now has to pay UBIT taxes on those earnings. Is that right?
That's correct.
How does someone even figure that out? I mean, obviously the math on all this is super complicated already. Are there accountants and CPAs that specialize in, you know, figuring out the taxation issues regarding self-directed IRAs?
So that is a tough question. I can explain it, you know, 10,000 feet.
Sure.
It really depends on the deal to exactly figure out how much leverage is being used. And because there are multiple investors already in the deal that are probably using the same types of vehicles like self-directed IRAs, you know, every situation is going to be different. And it's only taxed on a certain percentage of your capital gains based on how much leverage that deal is using. So it's really, I can't really answer that question very specifically. I can give you a pretty easy way to explain it. I'm going to give an example that helps. Say there's a property, and this is a one-off, say, single family residence. Say it's $100,000, mm-hmm. and you are using, I don't know, you have $50,000 in an IRA, and you use $50,000 of leverage, didn't need renovations, and you're just going to go ahead and sell that property, make $50,000 capital gains on that, right? From that quick flip you just turned around. Well, 50% of that was leveraged, so 50% of those capital gains would be taxed. Okay. That's probably the easiest example to give. But like I said, with syndications, there's multiple investors. So it's not going to be that exact formula.
Sure, sure. Now, and again, I know we're going to go kind of granular here, but I've also heard, obviously, that you can't, or not obviously, but I've heard that you cannot take on recourse debt with a self-directed IRA. How does someone who is investing, because there's a lot of apartment syndicators, a lot of multifamily, I mean, there's large syndicators saying, hey, you know, invest your self-directed funds. Most of these deals, obviously, the returns only make sense in light of leverage. So how does someone who is self-directing their IRA invest in those assets when all of these, you know, not all of them, but most of them have some form of recourse leverage?
The deal can have the leverage. If it's an individual investor investing in, like I gave the example of, you know, a single family residence, they can only use a non-recourse lender, and there are lists of non-recourse lenders. They're the ones taking that. Their IRA is the one that's taking that loan out.
Right.
When it's syndication, it's not those investors taking that debt on. It's the person putting the deal together, that is. Does that make sense?
Sort of. So let's assume, and this was a clarification because I asked somebody this a couple of weeks ago, and I got a different answer out of them. And now they weren't a custodian like yourself, which is why I really wanted to actually get a hard answer to this. So you've got the general partnership typically, and then you have the limited partnership. Now that debt is going to be taken on typically in the limited partnership's name, right? Because that's the entity that owns the asset. But because they are not taking on the debt in the IRA's name, they're taking it on in the limited partnership name. That's how you get around that. Is that correct?
Got it.
Gotcha. Okay. That's great. That's a key point because that's something that somebody, you know, had a differing opinion on here a couple of weeks ago. And I said, I don't think that's quite right. That confirms what I had previously understood to be true. That's awesome. So what do you see people investing in that is not real estate related?
Right now, for some reason, there's a lot of investors interested in the precious metals and cryptocurrencies. I can see where the splurge is coming. Bitcoin did really well a couple of weeks ago, like it skyrocketed, and now it's kind of evened out again. But you know, there's a lot of avid people out there watching that market to see how it's going to play out. And I mean, there's so many different types of cryptocurrency out there now, and a lot of trading going on. And you know, it's really hard to dissect those formulas. But I've seen a lot of people get really involved in that right now. Other than real estate, you can invest in private companies, of course. Anything that's private, any like startup companies, tech companies are pretty popular right now. I know myself, you know, I kind of put some of my own cash into, you know, these vaccines that are coming out. Remember, I'm not fiduciary. I'm just telling you what I'm doing.
Sure.
So it's really up to anyone.
This is not investing advice.
Yeah. Go do your own due diligence, of course, before you ever put your money in anything. That's the best advice I can give anyone.
Gotcha. Okay. That's interesting. All right. So now I've taken us on like three different wild goose chases from what not to invest in or what to invest in, some granular questions. Let's see, taking it forward from here, you know, as someone, I guess, what do you see the, on the real estate side of things? Like what's the transaction volume? Are you guys seeing, you know, lots more stuff happening? Is stuff slowed down in 2021? Or I guess 2020, not in 21. I'm hoping it's 2021. Good grief. Ready for this year to be over. But like what's happened this year in the IRA space that maybe was different from the previous years?
I think the biggest impact we had was, you know, we have a well-known presence attending live events and none of the, well, most of them were canceled. They were, we had them booked, you know, for the whole year. And a lot of those got pushed back. Some ended up virtual, which wasn't really getting the attendance that you would normally see, unfortunately, which is okay. We kind of took that virtual model, and we've actually been holding our own virtual conferences, and we've had a great turnout. We're reaching a lot more people across the country that we probably would have never been able to present because we were always doing live events. So we've got to focus our efforts on, you know, those virtual conferences and bringing in different people from all different aspects of types of real estate, from like self-storage to a multifamily syndicator is one of my favorites, people that are doing manufactured parks. What else do we have? Fix and flippers. I mean, just so many different assets that you would see in real estate. And we're putting these conferences together with these well-known speakers with great followers that can talk about like how you would get involved with the self-directed IRA investing in these types of assets.
Right. No, that's fascinating. And that's something I think that translates across all asset classes. Like whether you're NewView Trust or you're somebody that is a multifamily syndicator, like you mentioned, that ability to reach a much wider audience has, you know, really taken place in 2020 in a way that we probably could not have imagined. So good for you guys for putting that info out. I've seen a lot of those things come across my desk. So that's really cool that you're doing that. Talk to us kind of about the, you know, things that we as investors can be doing as we interact with you. I've dealt with a lot of different, you know, IRA custodians or I guess, you know, trust companies. And, you know, some have been excellent experiences and some of them have been really challenging. And I mean this, and I'm not trying to put anyone down, but challenging to get through the paperwork side. So what's something that we can do as syndicators maybe to make our interaction with you guys and then our co-investors an easier transaction?
That's a really good question. I'd say try to learn the documents that your clients are seeing ahead of time, because a lot of those things can be pre-filled in for the client ahead of time. And it would get the funds over a lot faster. The clients, feel free to introduce them to us personally because, you know, we're the best resource. If they're unsure or they have questions about any paperwork, you know, we're more than happy to handhold. A lot of companies aren't able to do that, but at NewView, we are. We can build those relationships with our clients, and we would much rather them call us, pick up the phone, let us walk them through that document, make sure it's correct the first time, rather than constant back and forth emails that might get missed or lost, you know, in spam or junk folders, and then it pushes the process and delays it longer. That would probably be the best solution, I think, to just expedite the process of getting the funds over.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of been the you know, the hangups we've typically run into is, oh, hey, we're missing a T on in this I's not dotted. And then we're going back and forth via email. It's like, oh my gosh, 4 days later. Mm-hmm. Can we please get through this? So no, that's great that you guys are really helping people get that across the finish line. So my question for you is this. There's a lot of people who are tied up in employer-related plans and things like that. And they have an employer that says, hey, you know, we manage your plan. You put money in your 401k and that's the end of it, right? Is there any other than, and we can talk briefly about the CARES Act and how that expires the 31st, which this episode will be long past, you know, when that actually, you know, could be a possibility for you. But is there anything else that someone can do who is in an employer-sponsored plan to get money out and actually self-direct it?
That's a really good question. And I'll go ahead and touch base on the CARES Act loophole right now. Who knows? It might get extended through 2021. You never know. And if it is, this is a great opportunity for people. Because of the CARES Act, they opened up the opportunity to take out, if you've been affected by COVID, of course, you always want to discuss this with the CPA or financial advisor, but you can take a distribution from an employer plan up to $100,000. If you were to take that distribution and you moved it into a self-directed IRA within the 60 days of taking that distribution, well, you pretty much paid it back. You just moved it to another retirement account.
Right.
As long as it's in a retirement vehicle and it doesn't say where you have to pay it back, then now you can self-direct it if you moved it to a self-directed IRA account. And there, you're already, you know, there's no penalty. There's no taxes that you're paying on it, and it's already paid back. So it's a win-win. And now you have opportunity to invest in more alternative assets that you weren't able to do with the net employer plan that's strictly limited to the stock market or bonds, mutual funds, things like that, which is very limited. Other than that, if the CARES Act wasn't there, when you're 59 and a half or you switch employers, those are pretty much the only times that you'd be able to access those funds and move them into a self-directed IRA vehicle.
Right. So that's something to think about too, is if you are changing employers. So there's an opportunity. You have a brief window there where you can roll it out of that employer plan into a self-directed with no penalty.
Yep, exactly. Or if you have a self-employed entity, self-employed business, and you know, you don't have a retirement account or you don't have an IRA, and I put this out there to a lot of people because for some reason, self-employed people and entrepreneurs don't think about putting money in a retirement vehicle. They completely just don't even realize that there's some options out there for them.
Sure.
One of the, like we mentioned, the solo 401k, also the SEP, those are great plans that have higher contribution limits. So you can start putting those money in those tax deferred or tax free vehicles and investing those. And that's really how you build that compound interest and build your wealth, is using these types of vehicles.
Right. Walk us through the contribution limits as they are here. And well, this will be airing sometime at the end of January, you know, 2021. But right now, what are those contribution limits on the different plans, like self-directed IRA to solo one 401k to SEPs to things like that?
Okay. Yeah. So a traditional IRA and a Roth IRA right now for 2020 is $6,000. They just released what the 2021 contributions are going to be, and they're actually the same. They usually go up about $500. For some reason this year, they did not go up. If you're over the age of 50, it's $7,000. You do have to be qualified for Roth contributions. There's certain income brackets where if you make a certain amount of income, you're not allowed to contribute to a Roth. You can potentially contribute to the traditional and then do a Roth conversion though. Then you have your SEP. Maximum is up to 25% of self-employed generated income for that calendar year. So the maximum is $57,000 if you're under the age of 50 and $63,500 if you're over the age of 50 for a SEP.
That is a much higher contribution limit than your other plan.
It really does. And you know, I mean, if you contribute to a SEP, which is a tax deferred option, now you're deferring some of those, you know, that money you made throughout the year. And you, you know, when you file your taxes, you can claim that. So a lot of people don't realize, you know, yeah, it is a big chunk of money, but now you have a retirement savings account that you're using that you can self-direct, or you can put in traditional investments, depending, you know, what you want to do with it. But it's better to have some type of retirement vehicle than no retirement vehicle.
Right.
That's what I tell people. And then the solo 401k, that one's a little bit different because you have an employer side and then you have the employee side. As the employee, $19,500 can be contributed either pre or post tax. If you're over the age of 50, there's also a $6,000 catch-up contribution. And then it also has the employer side where you can match up to 25% of your generated income for that calendar year as well at $57,000 or $63,500, similar to the SEP. So there's, that one has high contribution limits as well. You can also take a loan out against it because it is a 401k plan. If you ever needed to take a loan up to $50,000, most plans, IRAs don't allow that, right. But 401ks do. Yeah, so there's a lot. I can talk for hours about the solo 401k because it's just something I'm an advocate for. We're rebranding that actually. We're calling it a solo QRP, which is qualified retirement plan. So if you do reach out to NewView and you want to talk about our solo QRP, feel free to reach out to myself or my team, and we'd be happy to dive deep into that for you.
Sure. No, thanks for breaking that down for us. That's interesting how those you know, different contribution limits, and I'd love to know the, actually, I probably don't want to know the thoughts behind those limits. There's probably, it sounds a lot like taxation, and that just gets overwhelming. So if you're the employee and the employer, you could donate or contribute $19,500 as your own, as the employee, and then turn around through your LLC if you're actually the employer yourself, and then contribute another 25% on that side. Is that right?
That's right. Isn't that amazing?
That's crazy.
that.
Right, right. Yeah, that's genius. I got one more question for you before we jump into the final four. And again, this is getting more granular, but is there a way to take funds that are in a self-directed IRA and roll those into a solo 401k? Or are those just two separate accounts entirely?
You can actually, as long as it's a pre-tax account, like a traditional IRA. If you have a traditional IRA, you want to move that over to that solo 401k, you can. If you have anything pre-tax, like a previous employer 401k, 403b, TSP, usually those plans are pre-tax accounts. You can roll those over into the solo 401k as well.
Oh, that's interesting, but not if it's a Roth IRA, because that is...
Roth is the only one. Anything post-tax cannot be moved into the solo 401k plan.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Hey, let's jump into the final four here. The first question is, if you were to take everything you know about self-directed investments and distill it down to one piece of advice, what would that one piece of advice be?
Make your contributions annually. Like, there's no reason not to. Even if you have $1 million in your IRA already, make those contributions. There's, even though you can invest and make those capital gains, you want to make those contributions. There's a few reasons why you would want to do that. I mean, obviously some plans have higher contributions than others, but it shows that you're generating income. You're still, you know, contributing to the plan. There's some tax benefits that come along with, you know, making that contribution or doing a Roth conversion. If you have your money in a pre-tax account like a traditional IRA, research Roth conversions and see if that's something you would want to do. Obviously, it depends on what your age is, because there's a five-year rule, but Roths are pretty powerful. You know, they grow tax-free for you. You know, if you put it in the right investments and you can see some great capital gains, then that's definitely something you'd want to research.
That's awesome. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
A due diligence. I'm always researching. I'm always listening to podcasts. Probably one of my favorite things to do on my extra time. When I'm in the gym, I'm listening to podcasts. I want to be a sponge and learn as much as I can and, you know, evolve, because you kind of have to evolve, especially with, we don't know what the market's going to do next year. But if you pay attention to those trends, you might be one of those people that jumps in the right thing at the right time. And I mean, those people that invested in Bitcoin in 2012, like, look how well that they did. They held on to that, and you never knew. It was a gamble. It kind of is whenever you're investing.
Sure. No, that's absolutely true. That's great. And when it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Oh, that's a great question. Normally, I do volunteer a ton. Actually, Newview has a charity. It's called Share the Love. We're in Mexico right now, actually doing a distribution where we raise money and then we buy wheelchairs. We go to a lot of these countries that many people can't afford wheelchairs, and we will distribute those. We'll partner with a lot of the local charities and hospitals so that way we can get a good amount of people to show up and pick up those wheelchairs. So right now we're in Mexico doing that, but we've been to other countries like Belize, Costa Rica, Peru. So a lot of countries that we've definitely donated wheelchairs to.
That's cool. And Brian, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
You can reach me directly. Go to newviewtrust.com. There's a bot. You can leave your information. I will reach out to you, or someone from my team will. newviewtrust.com. I'll go ahead and share my personal phone number. You can directly reach me, so you don't have to go through any of the extensions. If you call Newview, my number is 407-519-9172. You can also email me directly. It's B for Brian. My last name is Martinez. So bmartinez@newviewira.com. And I love to connect on LinkedIn as well.
Awesome. Brian, thanks so much for your time and insight. Certainly appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me, Sam.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.